Those who sow in tears shall surely reap with joy. That's my story. I am Ruth. I left my little baby with Oma just there now so that I could tell you my story. I hear it's Thanksgiving here today, the time of year when you all go home to your families and celebrate with Thanksgiving God's goodness. But my story's different. Instead of going back home to my family, I felt God call me to leave my country and go and live on the margins, because that's where I came to find love and life, quite literally. You see, my sister-in-law and I, we were faced with a choice. We both had the same choice, how we were going to live. Naomi, our mother-in-law, she'd been looking after us up until now. She too left home when things were getting rough in Bethlehem. There was no food there, and so she came to my country, to Moab. Even though, I think it's fair to say, there was always tension between our countries, always hostility between them and us. No Israelite would ever want to marry someone from Moab, because it said in their law, no Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation, for they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. I know we haven't always been a welcoming people, I know that. But then Naomi came looking for food with her husband and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. You know, I'm not really sure why Naomi gave her boys those names, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means weakling, Chilion means failing. Maybe it says a lot about Naomi, prepared to go to a pagan country and live with empty faith. Maybe it says a lot about the times we're living in. Traditional authority has been shunned, kings are out, judges are in. Everyone is trying to do what's right in their own eyes. There's a bit of disillusionment around. Maybe that was Naomi trying to run away from emptiness. But sometimes the very thing you try and run away from is the quality you become, empty. I married one of her sons, and Orpah married the other. We never thought we'd become widows at such a young age, at the same time that Naomi was losing her husband. So there we were, just the three of us. You know what widow means in Naomi's mother tongue? It means leftover piece, and that's the way we felt, leftover pieces. And so Orpah and I both had a choice to make. How were we going to move forward? Either go back home to our families, hope and pray we'd find love and get married again. That's what Naomi wanted us to do. She kept saying, go back home, go back to where it is secure, choose life. The alternative was to stick with Naomi. I felt sorry for her. She was old, she was childless. Even if she were to get married again, she was never going to be able to have a son to continue her family line. And she was in a strange land, this despised land. What hope was she going to have? But more than that, Naomi had been teaching me about her God, his chesed love, a God who is unashamedly faithful, who loves to get close, who loves to restore relationships. And even though Naomi seemed tired of all this, I wanted to know more about this God who could split the Red Sea and bring water from a rock and bread in the wilderness. It certainly felt like we were in the wilderness now, and I had to make this choice. So rather than go back home and go back to security, I wanted more of this God. They say home is where the heart is, but I say home is where the chesed is. And so I said to her, "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." I know many reasons people choose to emigrate, to leave home. Often it's to have a better quality of life. But I made this decision to potentially lose everything except God. I wanted to know God. I wanted to see if it were true. And so in true widow leftover peace fashion, I got to work on the leftover pieces in the fields of our new town in Bethlehem, the place of bread. It was harvest time and there was plenty of work to do around the edges, gathering grain, keeping my place on the margins. But it was on the margins I had this palpable sense of God. He brought me to this man's field, this man Boaz. And I think when Boaz realized all the risks I had taken to leave home to look after my mother-in-law, he was impressed. He sat up. He had every right to shun me, a foreigner in his land, on his field, belonging to a people who were not renowned for sharing. But he got past his prejudice and did something remarkable. He came up to me after work one day and said, "I've been told all about you and what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. You left your own father and mother to live with a people you didn't know. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take shelter." He first of all made sure I was protected as I worked. He looked after me, but he went further. He decided to take on the debt of me. He arranged for me to find refuge under his shelter, just as God had given me shelter. To be honest, there were times I felt queasy about what lay ahead. I didn't know how this was all going to work out. But home is where the chesed is, and he asked me to be his wife. He took on the debt of me and married me. And together we've this son, Obed. I was so pleased when the people of the village gathered round Naomi and said, when she was cradling my baby in her arms, they said, "Praise be to the Lord who this day hasn't left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel, for your daughter-in-law is actually better than having seven sons." We are now the people who believe that the Messiah comes to the thin places, that security and wealth will be left in order to prove that love is stronger than death. I know now that this God has proved once that nothing, not even death, is going to separate me from his love. And I know he will prove it again. If God can give me a son and give me a place in his family, is anything too hard for this God? Some people even come up and look at my baby and they say, "He's a touch of royalty about him. Who knows what he will become?" And as a granny hugs a grandson, I know God has a master plan. Not just temporal blessings for the Jews in Bethlehem, but a God who is faithful to the leftover pieces of all nations. The problem is, I know this to be true, but sometimes when I look in the mirror, instead of seeing Ruth, I see a tinge of Orpah in me. Occasionally, I do wonder what would it have been like to have gone home, to return to security, to the things I always knew, to stick to the well-trodden, sensible path where you know how to keep tradition, surviving according to the rules given by the world. I know this is the choice of the majority. And yet, I would only ever have been defined by what society sees in me: poverty, loss, loneliness, struggle. But I'm Ruth. I chose to live in the margins. God has shown me that he sees me differently from the way the world sees me. He sees me as a key player in his family. Sometimes I look in the mirror and instead of seeing Ruth, I see Naomi, getting a little bit older, once ready to say yes to God, but now a little tired, now a little disillusioned, not always brimming with hope, living in fear of becoming irrelevant, passed over, losing what is authentic. But then I remind myself, I'm Ruth, I choose to live in the margins, because there God provides a feast that breaks the patterns of fear and scarcity. I made that promise to God, not just Naomi. Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. I left everything to get to Bethlehem, to become myself again, to discover what plenty is. I wonder what it would be like for you to become Ruth again, to be a pilgrim person on the road leading to new birth, to more harvest, to the place of plenty, to find your place in salvation's story, to reject how society defines you about being a leftover piece. Do you believe that your work on the margins is going to bring you into the center again, back to Bethlehem, back to the house of bread, back to the home where the Hesed is, to begin again, where God begins again in us? We pray that one day the Messiah will come again. So, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Oh, yes, it's true. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Oh, yes, it's true. Your grace is enough for me.